So JD, this picture here, church burned by militant Hindus, JD arrested. That doesn't seem right. Why don't you tell us what happened there?
Village called Sravandali village, a village covered by the upper caste people. People are living educationally, economically depleted by the upper caste people. People used to work bond slavery. You might be knowing what is bond slavery. So when we went to preach gospel, many people responded to accept Jesus Christ. In response to that, by faith, we built a church. When we built a church, the bond slavery, the people got awareness program, and they started to come to church without going to the work. Of course, they used to work, but not like a bond slavery. So when people used to come from the different tribe and touchables, so the upper caste people decided to destroy the church and arrest me that they falsely accused that I am converting the people into Christianity. So in 2016, July 18th, I was arrested and put in prison for 3 days. And I came on bail. So that is the thing. So.
And that carried on for quite a while. Has that trial been resolved completely at this stage?
It is not clearly cleared yet. It is still going on.
Okay.
But judge gave me favor decision in the
a favorable decision.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Now you said that you were falsely accused of converting people, but it sounds to me like you were converting people. So explain that. I think you have to explain to the technicalities involved in this.
What I'm doing is I'm preaching the power of the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is converting people. My duty is to preach gospel, and rest God is doing his work in bringing people.
But they accused you of paying people to become Christians or things like that.
Yeah, they are telling that we are preaching American God and we are enticing the downtrodden people, untouchable people, attracting them. And, showing some, giving something, and that is what they're...
Okay, great. And so you can pray about that because that's an ongoing problem. When we were teaching in Markapuram just a few weeks ago, J.D. had to leave the sessions and travel to a pastor who likewise had been arrested in his village. What happened there?
A pastor come from M. Gullahalli village. While he was preaching in a village prayer meeting, all of a sudden the mob came and started to hit him, and they dragged him, and they falsely accused that he and his wife is converting the people, and which is not supposed to come to the Hindu home to pray. But the believers who invited him to come to preach and pray for their family. During that time, they falsely accused and arrested Pastor Ashutpal, who has gone through the Triumph Biblical Leadership Training Program, which the training has been gone through in Devanagari.
And this is, you know, when you hear, well, you were arrested, that all sounds great, but this is like, these are normal people. Pastor Ashutpal lives in the church that he pastors. It's a building, maybe an eighth of the size of this hall. And if you go into that building on off hours, his cooker and their beds are rolled up in the back of the church. That's where his family lives. And they were saving money to build. They actually already have the foundations in a little house next to this church, so they don't have to actually live in the church hall. And all the money that they had for that goes to paying for bail now. They have to get out of prison. When they're falsely arrested, they still have to pay bail money, or they have to sit there until this thing comes to a magistrate. So it creates a huge hardship in many of the practical areas of life for these folks. So, J.D., your name indicates that your family was not always a Christian family. Tell us a little bit about how you came to know the Lord.
I was born and brought up in a Hindu family. My father and mother, they were very much devoted. They all used to go to making pujas.
Pujas?
Yeah.
What's a puja?
Puja is worshipping Hindu idol.
Ah, okay.
And my father used to worship 108 goddesses in the home. So when it was happening, my father was struck by the lightning and he died. And my mother had 9 children at the time. My mother could not be able to take care of me and my brother and my sister because we had a very tough time in the family. And my mother heard 30 kilometers away from my home, there was a Christian orphanage where she brought there and helped me to join. During that time, when I was 9 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ when I was growing up at the orphanage.
In the orphanage. So does the fact that you run an orphanage now have something to do with your background?
Yes.
You have a lot of compassion for these children.
Yes, sir.
Now, so your mom is a Hindu. Which of your brothers went with you to the orphanage?
Anuk,
okay.
Yeah.
Took 3 of you to the orphanage, had to leave you just because she had 9 children. Your dad is dead. You found your dad in the field, struck dead by lightning. You become a Christian. What happened with your mom?
After some time, my mother, when I used to go for holidays, we used to sing a song. My mother was listening every day. And initially, she opposed us not to sing. But then later on, my brother, myself, and my sister used to wake up early in the morning, 5 o'clock, and sing a song and pray. My mother used to listen, and then she accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior.
Amen. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, that is Ninnama Esto.
I think you should sing that song for us. Come on, sing that song. Can you sing it for us?
Yes,
at least
yes,
some
sir.
Of it? Please do.
Ninna maestu madura, nin priti estu apara. Ninna maestu madura, nin priti estu apara. Nannaya papa galigagi, shilbeli prana vakoti. Nanagagi mrutinjayanagi, nanagagi tirigi nibharvi. Ninnama yesto madura, nin priti yesto apara.
Wonderful. What does the song say?
This song says that Jesus loved you and he died for you and he shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
And there is no other God who sacrificed for man, woman being.
And your Hindu mom would hear you singing that in the morning.
Yeah, every day, yes.
Amen. Powerful witness. J.D. just lost his mom. We were supposed to be here Wednesday, but his mom died a week ago Monday. And so he had to stay over for the funeral. And a celebration of a wonderful Christian woman as a result of the power of the grace of the gospel. Yeah, wonderful. So after you were saved, when you finished your schooling there at the orphanage, what happened in your life? What happened next?
After my 10th grade, I dedicated my life when a preacher was preaching the book of Isaiah chapter 6, who will go for me? That particular verse touched my heart. And the very day I came forward and I dedicated my life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I joined Campus Crusade. to screen Jesus' film in the village.
How old were you?
I was 16.
16. And Campus Crusade paid you a salary, gave you everything you needed, yes or no?
Yes.
They did. Oh. How did they, what did they do for you here?
We used to go by bicycle.
Okay.
We were three of us going to village, screening Jesus' film.
You would, on your bicycles, carry
a projector.
A 16-millimeter projector.
Even today, we are using that.
We saw the pictures. Okay, so you would carry this on your bicycle. You'd ride to the villages on these beautifully tarred roads, correct?
No.
Okay.
It's muddy and stony roads.
Right. And in those days, people didn't have a lot to do in the villages, correct?
In the village, in those times, there was no TVs, television. Hardly we can see rich man home. There is a television. But none of the village people doesn't had any TV.
So they would come out because this was something unusual to see the Jesus video.
We had a very good gathering, 800,000 people, 1,500 people.
And what would you do after you'd show the video?
So, we used to distribute a gospel tract, and we interact with the people. If anybody is interested, we will pray for them. We'll explain more about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we keep contact with the people.
Did you ever have any trouble doing that?
Yes.
Tell us about that. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that might have happened at that time.
During film show?
Yeah.
We had a very good response, some of the villages. But some of the villages, we had a very tough time. And we have to go severe problem. As I said last night, a village called Iliur in Devanali. So when I was screening, a first reel started. A small boy came to me and said, "You stop the film. Already people were sitting and watching." I said, "No, I cannot stop now." And all of a sudden, people came with the stick. And they did not tell anything. And they started to eat on my face. My nose started to bleed. So as I was putting white shirt, fully the shirt became wet with the blood. They did not leave us. They dragged on the street to the temple called the Monkey God.
Hanumanu.
And they made us to sit like this in front of the idol. And they're pushing us. Three of us were there and forcing us to worship Hanuman. I said, we will not worship. If you are interested, I will show Jesus willing. If you are not interested... So we'll pack and go. And they said, "No, you have." They brought a coconut, a puja items. They were keeping on our hands. One side we are painting. At 9 o'clock, until 9 o'clock, they did not leave us. They forced us. And 9 o'clock, old man came and rescued us. We started to pack our projector, sound box, reel. Then started to go away from the village. Hardly we went maybe 50 feet or 100 feet away from the village. We can see a big light, like a moonlight. Hardly we can walk. So when we were walking, they started to throw stones on us. The stones literally coming on top of our head, between our ear. Next door here, between our leg and the boxes, none of the stone altered us. That was my turning point in my life.
Wow. And the man that rescued you was a Hindu priest.
Yeah, Hindu priest.
And you still see him regularly.
Yes.
He's never trusted Jesus, though.
He understands Jesus because of his community. He's very much afraid.
Wow. Now, when you finished with Campus Crusade, you worked with OM for a number of years.
Yeah, the reason why I wanted to join OM was this. I went to join Bible college. Hmm. The Bible college president said, you have to go and complete your 10 plus 2 plus 1. That is
that's like 10th and 11th and 12th grade here. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to go for Bible college, but he said, no, your English is not standard enough. Mm. So then I decided to go for joining Operation Mobilization for 6 months to learn English.
Oh.
But that made me to work 11 and a half years as a volunteer.
11 and a half years. Wow. Well, I think it would take me about 40 years to learn Telugu. So so what did you do with Operation Mobilization?
I used to go different places, preach gospel, selling the New Testament, gospel tract. If we sell a New Testament, in the team, 8 persons will be there. So if we are not selling the New Testament, we'll not eat that day. So because we thought live by faith.
Yeah, yeah. So they would give you a vehicle and a bunch of literature, and send you into these Hindu villages, and you would witness to people and sell them a New Testament.
Yes.
And whatever you got from selling the New Testament is what you supported yourself with as you moved through the country.
Yes.
Wow. So how would you like to know that your next meal is going to come from selling a New Testament to a Hindu? Here's a book you really want to buy. Wow. Wow. So, and then you would just sleep under the stars as you traveled around.
Yes, under the trees or some roadside, wherever we find a water. So we stop a vehicle and prepare a meal and eat and go.
And you did that for 11 years?
11 years.
Wow. Did a lot of people come to know Christ?
Yeah, whenever we go to the marketplace, so we used to preach, sing a song. That is, Santosha Ukkute, Santosha Ukkute. And people used to gather. We have a clip chart that we have.
Oh, yes, we saw the flip chart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, through that we used to preach gospel.
Okay, that's great. And a lot of the reach that you have now, the influence that you have across India is based on the church planting that you guys did in those years?
Because the Lord has helped me to go throughout India preaching gospel in different states. And through that, I could able to have a good connection with the brothers and sisters.
When we hear these kinds of stories, sometimes we forget that you're no different than I am and than anybody else is. What kind of personal struggles have you and Ruth faced? I mean, the kinds of things that you just would face as a couple, raising a young daughter?
Yeah, among the Hindu people, many times we had a lot of challenges. They're going to Hindu school.
Hannah went to Hindu school.
There was a big challenge for us. A Christian girl, only girl, going to the Hindu, and they're teaching all Hinduism, and so they're teaching about the monkey, the evolution, and we teach here. So the school teach my daughter in different way, but thank God, God protected my daughter, and that was the big challenge. And also we had a big challenge in the villages that the lack of education. We were not able to do more ministry among the uneducated people. But we have decided, in order to reach gospel, we thought of starting the adult literacy program for the grown-up women, men. So we did the adult literacy program.
Literacy program.
Literacy program. India is 60% of Indian population is uneducated. So the 40%, like now the growing youths, children are educated. Urban area, many of them are educated. In the rural area, remote places, even today, the ladies and men cannot read and write. So we have, the Lord has given us opportunity to conduct and teach them adult literacy program so that they can at least read Bible and read the Word of God when they come to church.
It's wonderful. And you've been blessed with education. I mean, you have a master's degree and
yes.
all. God did, obviously you learned English, and God has blessed you that way. Tell us a little bit about Ruth's background, your wife, Ruth.
My wife come from a city girl, actually.
You're a country boy, and she's a city girl.
Yes, sir. My mother and my brother searched for me, my wife. And so I got married in 1994.
Yeah. How long did you date?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Arranged marriage.
Arranged marriage. Okay. Did you meet Ruth a little bit before the wedding day or on the wedding day?
On the wedding day.
On the wedding day. Wow. It works, doesn't it?
Yes.
They don't believe you, but it does. And tell us a little bit about Ruth then, the ministry that she has. I know that she's a very well-educated woman as well.
She did her MA, Master of Arts.
Mm.
And the Lord has given a burden to reach the widows.
Mm.
Now already many women have been abused by the husband and different communities people. Many women were thrown out of the home because a woman accepted Jesus Christ and they poured gasoline, they burned. So my wife is taking care of such a persecuted woman and the widows. Widows, they think they're unfortunate for the village and the community. They chase them outside when the husband dies.
They see the widow as a cursed person, so they don't want them around.
Yeah, even today in the villages, if there is a widow in the village, nobody likes them. And they totally neglect and...
So Ruth has shown a lot of care for them. Yes. We saw these sewing machines. Tell us a little bit about that.
The one of our friends has given us a sewing machine so that we can train for widows and some women like those who are abused by it, so that they can go and work and earn in the cities.
Ah.
So we are training them.
How many women have been trained in that way, would you
now,
say?
Almost 300 women have been trained.
300 women.
This, yes.
And when they finish the program?
Yeah, they go for finding job in a city. In the garment factory.
And do you give them a sewing machine? Or do you do that?
Yeah.
How much does... those are all foot pedal sewing machines, so they don't need electricity.
Yeah.
How much does a machine like that cost?
It is cost about $200.
$200. And so then they take the machine and they use their skills.
They are now earning and living.
Yeah.
And their testimony is good now.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. And the lady who runs that program with Ruth, I've met her.
Yeah.
She was one of these abused women, is that correct?
Yes, she was accepted Jesus Christ. And her husband, when he saw that she's going to church, accepting Jesus, and he burned with the gasoline.
Put gasoline on her and lit her. Yeah. So when you meet her, her arms very all scarred.
A couple of women were burned here.
Yeah.
They pour gasoline.
There
are lots of abused women.
Now, India has more unreached people groups than any other country on earth.
Yes.
What are your churches doing with regard to these tribal groups that are unreached people?
Yeah, we have a vision that going to the remote and a forest area, finding a tribal area, preaching gospel and concentrating on doing ministry, bringing them to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of the tribal groups, many young men came forward, accepted Jesus Christ, in which triumph, and you are training them in Markapur and in Karnataka and different places, for which I want to thank God for you for coming to India to train such a wonderful man of God.
Yeah, well, that's... because of people like this that we can do it.
Yeah,
that's
I want
for sure.
to thank all the saints who have been praying and sending a servant of God, Dr. Dale, to India to train such a pastors, like youths, who have a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your prayers are like backbone. Your prayers are like weapon to us and to Dr. Dale. When he came, literally, one day in Markapur, in the middle of the night, a police officer came and knocking the door. I was sleeping next to Dr. Dale's room. So I was shocked to see the police officer. And he was asking Dr. Dale his visa and his passport in order to deport him from the Markapur. And finally, Dr. Dale could able to answer. We thank God that God protected that night. Otherwise, it would have been a big problem. So they would have put a problem to Dr. Dale. I thank God and thank you for your prayers. And your prayers are like lifting of Dr. Dale and our hands up, like in the Exodus chapter 17. Aaron and Hur lifted off Moses' hands. You know, when Moses' hands were lifted up, and the Amalekites was defeating by the Israelites. Israelites used to prevail against the Amalekites. So the prayer makes lot of differences. When we go outside, when Dr. Dale come to India, it's not a simple thing. It is very, very difficult. Because India is strongly for Hindutva. And they are standing against the God's servant and God's people. Please continually pray. Uphold in your prayers. So that many places can be trained, many youths can be trained, those who are not able to go to the Bible college. We have many places, many youths, so that they can go after the training, preach gospel among their own community, and so that their own community may come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him.
Amen. Amen. Great. Let me ask, we have a few minutes, I think, if you have any questions you'd like to ask. Yes?
Can you give us just a small sense of the strength of the community of churches, their encouragement for each other, their unity in these difficult situations?
Yeah, we have some kind of challenges in that area. In India, we have a different casteisms. The higher caste people cannot come to the lower caste people. Untouchable are not allowed to the higher caste house. So what we are doing, we rent a place, we invite them under one roof, all community, they'll come and worship the Lord Jesus.
But the churches that JD works with, there is a massive camaraderie that exists among these men. And I know even in South Africa, when we ran a master's program for pastors in South Africa, and they love to get together for those 2 weeks when we would do that. And it's the same way with our training. I mean, we get there in the morning, we have to tell them, stop singing, because we have to teach. That sounds terrible. Like, stop worshiping, we have to teach. That's really stupid. But at any rate, you can just tell that they enjoy being together and the camaraderie that they have. And JD, it's kind of weird for him to be here because he doesn't do anything alone. So now here he's with me, but like, you know, I sleep in my own room in these places, and they have five guys in a room. He picks me up at the airport at 2:30 in the morning. There's four other pastors with them. They just do stuff together. They are really committed to encouraging and helping each other. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
And I see it. I see it. You know, it's quite amazing. So it's a blessing and a privilege to work with them. and to just have a small influence. The hardest part for me is that I don't speak the language, so I'm always over the moon when I have some students in the class that speak English because I can engage a little bit more. But we have great translators. We haven't even talked about them, young men. One of these young men, two of them, their dad was a pioneer Indian church planter in the hills of Andhra Pradesh, planted churches among tribal people all through there, and now the elder son is basically following in his dad's footsteps, passionate about reaching those people. We keep saying to him, how old is William Carey? His name's William Carey, can you believe it?
It's about 33.
33. So we keep saying, William Carey, it's time to get married. And J.D. is on the selection committee. So they keep bringing women to him. But I think William Carey is thinking, I want a woman that can go into those hills with me, and none of these girls are going to do it. So I'm not sure how that story's going to finish. But they're great, and it's such a privilege to work with you, J.D., and to, you know, kind of come in on a ministry that God has thoroughly blessed you with and graced you with. So why don't we pray together? I think we're over our time.
So before that, I want to thank Pastor Matt and the saints of the Webster Bible Church for having me. And thank you, sir, for inviting me. Mm. And I want to thank you and Sister Karen for having me in your home and giving me an opportunity to come and see such a wonderful man of God and the saints of this church. So please continue to pray for
it's
us.
It's our privilege. Okay. Why don't you pray for us? Would you please pray?
Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord, for thy faithfulness in my life, in all of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the way that I could able to come with Dr. Dale and Sister Karen to visit Webster Bible Church. What a privilege that thou hast given me to see thy servant, dear Lord, Pastor Matt, and the saints of this church. And thank Lord for the vision that thou hast given to them to send out missionary to different countries. We thank Lord for the church and the saints that continually uphold them and use them mightily in the days to come. And please bring Pastor Matt to India, Lord, and so that if it is thy will, help us to have saints in different, so that they may come and see with their own eyes what is India like and what is happening. And if it is thy will, Lord, please bring Pastor Matt to India to teach, train pastors along with Dr. Dale, so that we may bring many glory and honor to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.